Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your host, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. Happy Easter, everyone. I hope you are all having a great day. Mike, happy Easter to you. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir. Happy Easter to you too, and Andrew as well.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike.
And today we are talking smooth jazz with saxophonist and new groove recording artist Andrew New. I have to talk about his new CD, Try Something New, and this is a unique blend mix of jazz, R&B, classical, and Latin music. And Mike and I had the pleasure of meeting Andrew at the Berks Jazz Festival. So, Andrew, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hey, Terry. Thanks so much for having me. Mike, the same.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being on the show. Now, I wanted to ask you about Berks. How long have you been performing there?
I've been playing at Berks off and on for, I remember doing one years and years ago when I was in my early 20s, I guess, and with another artist. But over the past, say, 3 or 4 years, I've been doing some things here and there with the All-Star Jam and doing some things in Gerald Easley's jazz bass there. So this past week I did the All-Star Jam again, and then they had a couple of late-night jams with all kinds of different artists were coming in, Nicole Leon, Gerald Easley, Jakeem Joyner, Eric Darius, Rick Braun. So we just had a ball, everyone coming in and just sitting in.
Yes, it was. That was my first time attending, and it was Mike's second, but I had a great time. I had a great time. It was nice. It was really, really nice.
Oh, it's a great festival. I really think it's one of the best festivals in the country, and just the way that the hang is so great because everyone just comes together, and you're hanging there with all the other musicians and all the other fans and all the other press people. And it's really great to get a chance to actually meet people that you may have been communicating with, say, on Facebook or just on email or websites and, you know, blogs and guest books and things like that. So it's really a nice way to get up and close and personal with everybody.
And that's what I liked about it, the artists hanging out and meeting the fans, greeting the fans. That's what I like the most about it.
It's a right. neat genre, this kind of music. I think everyone that I've come across that I've been playing with over these past few years have just been so sweet and so giving and so generous with their talent and themselves as just really bringing me in part of their family, and I think that's really neat.
I agree. Okay, so let's talk about the new CD, Try Something New. You have a great cast of artists on this CD, so tell us about it.
Well, I like to call the dream team of producers. I started with my good friend Gerald Beasley, and we did 4 tracks here in Philadelphia. And then I went up to New York and worked with Chuck Loeb, and Chuck produced 2 tracks and also played on one of the tracks that Gerald had done, and Gerald played on one of the tracks that Chuck had done. And then we finished up the CD and mixed the whole thing out in L.A. with Brian Bromberg. And, of course, Brian brings in his friends like Brian Culbertson, who played trombone on a track, and Dave Weckl and Dan Siegel. And, of course, my good friend Bobby Caldwell sang his tune that he composed back in the 80s, Next Time I Fall in Love, and that was our first single.
Wow. That is great.
Oh, great.
That's how I feel about it, you know? I mean, these are all the names that you heard of, but the reason you've heard of them is because they're really the best in the business. So I was very, very fortunate to have this team of musicians surrounding me on this record.
It's a great, yes, great CD. Now, mentioning, going back to the artists that are on the CD, Mike and I were talking about this, I think when we were at Berks or maybe after that, but when an artist has well-known artists on their CDs, how do you keep Andrew New's music up front? You know what I'm saying? How do you keep that your music up front so that the listener, the person listening to that CD, always knows that it's Andrew New that they're listening to and not the other artists? How do you keep your music?
Right. Well, that's actually, you know, believe it or not, that's actually something we did talk about. I, you know, not to be overwhelmed by the guest stars on there.
Yeah.
I think it's 6 of the tracks on the record are tunes that I composed. And I certainly had input in the production and the arranging of the other tunes as well. And I think just being a saxophonist, it lends itself to really being a prominent instrument. So we really tried to make sure that the tunes were centered around the saxophone, but making sure we left enough space for the other musicians. Now, of course, we did Bobby Caldwell's tune. We actually did that two different ways. We had one where it was a more your traditional R&B ballad with Bobby singing really right in the front, and I played some solos and some fills around him. But then we also did another version that we also released as a single instrumentally where Bobby was just doing the background vocals. So we like to give people the option of kind of enjoying the tune either way, because it's so great with Bobby's vocal on there, which you just cannot beat. But at the same time, the melody is so strong that I think it really works without having those lyrics there, and hopefully me playing it, you know, really work for some people.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Andrew, when you shared the stage with a lot of people like Sir Elton John, Patti LaBelle, and all those kind of things, who have you learned how your stage presence and everything? Have you picked up different things from these artists that you've shared a stage with?
Well, I've been very fortunate over the past 2.5 years I've been touring with Bobby Caldwell, and to watch someone like that, I think back to the first show I did with him, which was out in Santa Barbara, and I had no rehearsal. In fact, I didn't meet Bobby until the day before the gig, and we just basically did a sound check and hit the stage, and I was so nervous. But up until that point, I'd been a fan of his for so long, and I was just mesmerized by his stage presence. That there was really one point in the show that I forgot I was on the gig. I just felt like I had really great seats at a Bobby Caldwell concert, just because his performance was what you hear on all his recordings. I mean, there's no Pro Tools making him sound great. He just sounds great and has a way of really communicating with the audience. So I learned so much from watching Bobby on those shows together. But, you know, some of the other instrumental performers out there that I think are really fabulous, that are really able to engage the audience, are certainly without doubt is Brian Culbertson, who just will manage to take an audience in his hands and just take them wherever he wants to go. And I think it's really impressive to see someone that can captivate an audience like that without dominating them, you know, without making people feel like they're being bullied, because I've seen other artists do that. And you learn a lot from artists that are not doing the right thing on stage, too. So I think that's the thing, as I said, I like about these artists, is that they're really great about sharing their gifts and bringing everyone together.
And how long have you been touring with Bobby?
It's been about 2.5 years now. It was, I think, August of 2007.
Okay. Cool. Sounds great. Okay, let's listen to some music. There's a couple of songs on here that I really like. Libra Rising and South by Southwest. I really like those.
Great. Yeah, Libra Rising is actually going to, it looks like that's going to be our next single.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, now, is this Libra Rising? Does this have to do with your astrology?
Actually, yes, it does. It's a tune that Brian Bromberg wrote for me, and I remember coming into the studio and said, "Hey, Andrew, you know, what's your sign?" And I really wasn't quite sure where he was going with that, because people don't really talk about, you know, the whole "what's your sign" thing anymore. But I'm kind of right on the cusp there between Virgo and Libra, and we decided I was mostly a Libra, so we decided to call it Libra Rising.
All right, here is Libra Rising from Andrew New's Try Something New CD. All right, that was Libra Rising, one of my favorites on the CD. We are talking to Andrew New about his new CD, Try Something New. And if you would like to talk to Andrew, please give us a call at 646-716-5485. You can come hang out with us in the chat room by going to talkingsmoothjazz.com, clicking on the TSJ Radio Show page, and then the Play Show button under the Andrew New Show. So, Andrew, I have a question for you from the chat room.
Okay, what's that?
Cheryl B. wants to know how you came to play with the Brian Pastor Big Band.
Oh, how about that? You know what? I always kind of joke about this, but I have sort of a short attention span when it comes to playing music. I get so much satisfaction about playing a whole lot of different kinds of music. And, you know, one of the other things I like to do outside of smooth and contemporary jazz is playing and writing for big bands, actually. And Brian Pastor is actually sort of one of my mentors and one of my friends that I was very fortunate to start playing with his big band a few years ago. Actually, I was still in college at the time. My big brother is a trumpet player who also was playing in the band. And, yeah, I'm not sure how it all came about. I guess we were doing some gigs together, and I think actually at some point I subbed in on the band, and then I got fortunate that they just kept calling me to sub, and then eventually a position opened up and started getting the call all the time. So it's been a few years now. We did a record, I guess, about 5 years ago, and recorded three of my arrangements on there, which was very, very cool. So.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
All right. Let me ask you, Andrew, and I'm going to ask you that too, basically, but how was the transition from being a big band to smooth jazz? Going into smooth jazz genre?
Well, I mean, there's certainly very different styles of music, and your whole role is very different. And when you're playing in a big band, you really have to contribute to being part of the section and kind of put your ego on hold for a little bit, because it's really all about making the whole band play better. Now, in Brian's band, I'm very fortunate, and also I play with the Dave Stahl Big Band. Dave's a former lead trumpet player with Woody Herman and Buddy Rich and Frank Sinatra, so I'm very fortunate to be able to play the jazz chair, the jazz tenor chair in each of those bands. So I get a chance to do a lot of soloing, but when you have your moments, you step up and you hopefully rise up to it, but then there's times you got to sit back and be a part of a section and being part of a team. And that's the great thing about playing in a big band, is just the camaraderie of just hanging with all these musicians that are really kind of on the same page. And it's really very much about passion, and I think the reason the guys play this kind of music and there's so many loyal listeners to this kind of music is because people are passionate about it and they want to keep it strong. This is concert big band jazz. This isn't like the old Glenn Miller dance music, although that stuff is wonderful too, but this is stuff that you want to sit down and really listen to and hear guys be emotional about it and be passionate and you know, really take it to places that they might not have planned on. And that's one of the cool aspects of jazz, is just kind of stepping out there and seeing what happens, you know.
Yeah.
And you also played with the Philly Pops and the Philadelphia Jazz Orchestra as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I play actually the Philadelphia Orchestra. I played with them. I'm on their sub list, I think, actually as a result of playing with Peter Nero and the Philly Pops. And that's essentially is a Pops Orchestra, and we have a lot of jazz and Broadway and different types of artists come in there. We had Diane Shore last year, and Nestor Torres, a wonderful flute player, came in as a soloist. We're doing, I guess, Maureen McGovern in a couple of, next month we're doing that. And that's over at the Kimmel Center. But I've also played with the Philadelphia Orchestra, and that's one of the top five orchestras in the world. And it's very, very exciting to be able to play with them, and certainly an honor. And, I mean, I was actually trained as a classical saxophonist and started originally on clarinet. So it all kind of comes together, and I think I enjoy playing the classical music as much as I do playing big band music, as much as I do playing R&B and jazz and even pop music, too. So, I mean, I there's nothing better than sitting in a great horn section playing Earth, Wind & Fire tunes or Tower Power or Chicago or Blood, Sweat & Tears or any of those great horn bands. I mean, it's all good music.
Yeah.
And you also – now, in my research, it says that and I'm not sure if this refers to you, but it says that there were master classes within this orchestra. So did you teach master classes?
I do some teaching. I'm not sure. I've done some performances in schools from the Philadelphia, the Philly Pops, and they sent us out to do performances in schools with the intention of just making people aware of the Philly Pops and building audiences from young people for the future to come in to, to go and enjoy these orchestras.
Okay.
Yeah. And you were also a graduate of, you said, now you said that you went to college, you went to Temple University's, the Astor Boyer School of Music?
Yep, I graduated from Temple and also studied at University of the Arts as well, too. So I had the best of really the two of the top music schools here in Philadelphia, which is I was very fortunate.
Wow, that's great. That's great.
And not and listen, he's also played with the Four Tops. He played on It's the Same Old Song by the Four Tops.
Mm-hmm.
And then Papa Was a Rolling Stone by the Temptations. How cool is that?
Oh, it was so cool. I remember when the first time I did that, and I've done that many times since then, I think I was about 18 or 19 when I first got called for that gig. And I was so excited. I ran into my friends because I was actually playing for an artist that people have heard of, you know, people that might have their recordings in their record collection or they heard it on the radio. You know, and so it was really, you know, my first chance of playing with national artists, and I was so young, and I never stopped appreciating playing with great artists like that. I mean, it doesn't matter how old I get, you know, and as long as I've been doing this, that I still appreciate playing with great musicians and people that have built that reputation over the years of being great performers and have maintained that kind of longevity.
Okay. I have another question for you. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to, you know, you can ask the question. I'll just follow up with mine after that.
Okay, this question comes from the chat room. Cheryl wants to know, do you still record and perform with the Bright and Tight Horns, and what would we know that they have done?
The Bright and Tight Horns was created originally for my first record, Inspire, which came out in 2000, and it's made up of my brother on trumpet, Brian Pastor on trombone. And by the way, Brian is also the principal trombonist with the Philly Pops, and as well as being a band leader and a brilliant trombonist on his own. Of recent years, has been my good friend Chuck Gottesman, who's a brilliant trumpet player and also did a great solo on No Hang Tonight on the new record. And then also my friend who's now living in L.A., Tony Bonserra, is another trumpet player that is currently touring with Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. And you know, as a section, we've done all three of my different records, and we've done a lot of corporate events and parties and things like that. But as well as we've also done like sort of multimedia presentations and TV commercials and things like that in the studio. So and working on just a million live shows together. We all did the patent transfer. We did a DVD for them a few years ago. That shows up on PBS every Christmas. It was a big Christmas special we did with them. So, but I think the key of a good section is that it's guys all have to be on the same page. You all want to stand next to each other, and you want to make sure that, you know, you're all playing things the same way. And I think that's a key of again setting your ego aside to try and make sure that it's all about the ensemble, it's all about the band, and not so much about the individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Now, Andrew, now, you mentioned your first CD, Inspire, was in 2000. Your second one, In Clear View, was in 2007. Now, how did you wind up getting with New Groove Records?
I was very fortunate that while I was recording In Clear View, that I was talking to another friend of mine who lives in L.A. She's a singer, and she said, "Oh, Andrew, you're working on your new record. Yeah, you should go and talk to this guy, Brian Bromberg." And literally at that moment, I had his Jocko CD in my CD player in my car. I mean, it was very serendipitous that she happened to bring up his name. And, of course, I've been a fan of his for years, and he's been doing a lot of production and said, yeah, you should talk to him. So I started working with him, and In Clearview, which came out in 2000, really put me on the national scene because Brian was able to bring in Jeff Lorber and Vinnie Colaiuta and Dave Weckl. And guys of that level onto the record, and I started to get a lot of radio play from that last record, and I guess that's what got me the attention of Bobby Caldwell and eventually New Groove. So I was very fortunate that sequence of events kind of all fell into place the way it did.
Okay. I'd like to read a couple of reviews about Try Something New. I found a review from Japan from the first to the last track is going to have you grooving in your chair, if not up on your feet, dancing to the rhythms. The Smooth Jazz Therapy says, although New hits another home run with the Sunshine Field and Brassed Enriched title track, truth to tell, the entire collection is of an exceptionally high standard.
Wow, how about that?
And also in my research, did you know that there was an Olympian named gymnast that performed in the Olympics with the same name, same spelling?
You know what? Was it around the turn of the century, 1904 or something like that?
Yes, yes.
I saw that on a Google search one time and got kind of a kick out of that.
Yeah, 1904 in St. Louis, the Summer Olympic Games. Andrew
Nguyen. Yeah. Now, I would like to remind people that my last name is, in fact, spelled N-E-U, and I was hoping to kind of, I guess, push that point with the name of the CD, Try Something New. So, cause so often, you know, it's just a three-letter word, but here people hear new, and they just assume it's N-E-W, but it is, in fact, N-E-U. In fact, one of the reviews that I got from Germany, they actually went into the whole origin of the name, and including one of the other songs on the record, Wanderlust, and that's apparently a word of German origin as well, too. So that was sort of interesting.
Okay. Well, since you mentioned that, let's play that next, Wanderlust.
Thank you.
All right, that was Wanderlust from Andrew New's Try Something New CD.
Yeah.
You can pick that up on his website, andrewnew.com.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, I really love to see you, Andrew, and I've been going through your bio and everything, and I've noticed something that you said that really intrigued me, and that's you said that you weighed the differences between being a sad man and a solo artist, and you admitted that it's much more relaxing to play as a sad man because you can really focus on your performance without the distractions or the anxiety of being in charge. But then you play as a leader, you know, you have to make everybody happy. So, I mean, mm-hmm. how was it from going from being a sad man to the front? Was being in charge something that you could really get into, or did you have to learn how to, you know, take charge?
Well, you definitely gonna have to learn how to get people to do what you'd like them to do, because it is your band, but do it in a way that you know, everyone is agreeable to. I always try to get the input of everyone who's playing with me. And this is something I learned, you know, from doing teaching as well. And you always want to try and preface things with a positive too, and reach for the things that people are doing well. But at the same time, you really want to know, if you hire a bass player, they're going to understand their role as a bass player much better than I would. So I always make sure that I talk to my bass players that work with me and my drummers. And, you know, actually that last tune, we just heard a beautiful bass solo by my bass player, Rob Cochran, who also tours with me with Bobby Caldwell. And I always will, if I'm working on a new tune or something, a lot of times I'll print out the bass part and show it to him and say, hey, is this something that would make sense? And so I always try to get their input, because they know about their instrument much better than I do. So as a leader, you do have to sort of set the tone for everybody, and you want to make sure it's loose, and you want to make sure that everyone feels comfortable to be able to feel like they're contributing something to it. And I've worked with some leaders that just, they won't have any of that, and they just, this is the way they want it done. And, you know, that's cool. I guess if they want to do it that way, I always felt much more of a democracy about it in my band, and try and get everyone to be involved with it too. But at the same time, sometimes the decision needs to be made, and sometimes I got to be that guy to make it. So, mm-hmm. But certainly as a sideman, it's easy just to kind of sit back and just focus on being a saxophone player. But you don't have the opportunity necessarily to do what you want to do too. So, and I think that's always the impulse of being a leader. And I started being a band leader because I started writing songs and I wanted to get these tunes played, and I just wasn't comfortable doing it on other people's shows or really pushing people to do my tunes. So I just started figuring, hey, I'll put my own band together and see what we can do. So, and unfortunately, I got a lot of great musicians that are really on the same page, and, you know, we like hanging out with each other. And I think that really shows when you do a performance, is if the band gets along, I think the audience picks up on that.
Yeah, agreed.
No. Tell us about some of the guys in your band, because, you know, you have a great cast of guys. And tell us about your band, your live band.
Well, as I said, I mentioned Rob Cochran, who was originally with Pieces of a Dream and recorded with them, and Marion Meadows, and recently has been touring not just with me, but, of course, with Bobby Caldwell as well. And I actually probably do more gigs with Rob than I do with anyone else, just because we also work on the Brian Pastor Big Band and the Dave Stahl Big Band together. And he's always just the first guy that if I need a bass player, I recommend this guy, and I think he does the same with me. So we do a lot of work together. My drummer is Butch Reed, who is a wonderful jazz and R&B drummer. And if you remember, there was a hit by Gerald Veasley on Do I Do a few years ago that they still play. He was the drummer on that. So he was Gerald Veasley's drummer for a long time, and also played with Grover Washington. So it's kind of cool to have that legacy back there in my rhythm section. My current piano player is named Demetrius Pappas, and he's currently the music director for Smokey Robinson. So I've been very fortunate to be able to kind of get him in those holes in his schedule when he hasn't been out with Smokey. So, and he's just done a million things. He toured with the Funk Brothers. That's the rhythm section from all the Motown records just a few years ago. And so, I mean, just a really, really gifted piano player. And my horn section, I've been using my brother on trumpet, and my good friend Chuck Gottesman is a great lead player and a soloist on trumpet, and Brian Pastor on trombone. And then on guitar, I've been using a couple of different guys, but Rich Tucker is my main guy, and he's done just a million sessions with a lot of R&B people. He toured with the Spinners. I know he toured with Billy Paul from Me and Mrs. Jones, and Kindred Family Soul, and he's been doing a lot of producing on his own. And then there's another guitar player named Mark Walsh, who tours with Sister Sledge right now. So it's very, very cool to have this kind of legacy of musicians coming and playing with my band. And it's a great hang, and I think we make some great music together.
I
have a question from the chat room. Mm-hmm. Lori wants to know, how do you categorize your sound?
My sound?
Do you feel like you're a smooth jazz, or you know how the industry would categorize an artist, smooth jazz, artist, pop?
Sure. You know, it's funny. I've talked to other musicians, and especially doing this past weekend over at Burke's, where you heard a lot of quote-unquote smooth jazz musicians stepping out of that umbrella of smooth jazz and just playing. Like some of these jam sessions were just calling tunes. Mm-hmm. And, hey, what tune are we going to do? Okay, let's count it off and do it. So we heard a lot of these guys playing some really heavy-duty tunes, Miles Davis and Thelonious Monk. One of the first tunes I did on the All-Star Jam was a Freddie Hubbard tune named Little Sunflower. So it was actually very, very cool to hear musicians doing something that you don't normally hear them do. And that's one of the things that I always liked was playing different kinds of music. And I think I'm just a musician. I'm a saxophone player. And I think guys that are really good on their instrument can really play anything. And Brian Bromberg, who one of my producers, brilliant upright jazz player, upright bass player. Chuck Loeb, when he first came to New York, was really a hardcore jazz guitar player and playing bebop. And both of those guys got to start playing with Stan Getz. And now they're two of the biggest smooth jazz artists and producers on the scene right now. Gerald Veasley got his start playing with Grover Washington and Joe Zawinul from Weather Report. So a lot of these guys, and hopefully myself included, kind of have our foot in a lot of different styles of music. So I think the record I did definitely kind of, I mean, there's definitely elements there that are smooth jazz. There are others that are more even big band sounding. There's some that are more Latin, I think, especially if you go back to some of my earlier records, and R&B and hip-hop and straight-ahead jazz. And I just always love bringing all those different elements of world music into what I do. So I think it was Duke Ellington that said there's only two different kinds of music, good and bad. So hopefully I'm in the former category.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead, Mike.
Now I'm going to ask you too, Andrew. Now, you're also a voting member of the NARS and the Grammy Awards?
Yeah, well, it's the organization that votes for the Grammys is the National Association of Recording Arts and Sciences. And so it's basically a group of professionals, people who are in, quote-unquote, the industry. That's recording artists and people in radio and people, even attorneys and even people that do video. Anyone that's been involved with recording records over the years can be a part of this group of professionals that vote ultimately for the Grammy Awards. But we also do a lot of other outreach things. Music Cares is an organization that's helps to give instruments and scholarships to young musicians. But they also, it's along the lines of the Musicians Union, where they provide support for their members as well, too.
I have another question for you from the chat room. Cheryl would like to know what your experience was like sharing the stage with Julie Andrews, Steve Lawrence, and Edie Gourmet.
Oh, my goodness. Well, some of the first acts that I did, I was working with some of the older contractors. And, again, this goes back to when I was started playing with the Four Tops and the Temptations. I was a teenager when I started. And I really kind of caught the tail end of a lot of those types of acts that used to come through a place called the Valley Forge Music Fair. And we still see some of them coming through at the Kimmel Center with the Philly Pops. I don't want to say nostalgia acts because they're very much relevant, but the kind of acts where they would hire a band in every city that they would come into with a conductor, maybe their rhythm section. Steve and Edie was just a gas because it was that sort of that old school, I guess, Vegas kind of a thing that you might see the Rat Pack doing. Rosie Clooney was just a wonderful artist and very warm, giving person, had wonderful stories. And I actually did both her regular show and then her Christmas show. And having grown up watching White Christmas for so many years as a kid with my family, it was really cool to be able to kind of live that, you know, and actually do that show with Rosie Clooney. So we're doing Maureen McGovern coming up next month with the Philly Pops. We just did Jack Jones. So these are the things that are still recent that I'm doing. So it's very cool because you kind of feel like you're a part of a larger sense of history, not with just the artists themselves, but all the musicians that have come before us that have played these acts. And it's kind of cool to sit and talk to the people that used to play for Frank Sinatra. Or that used to play for even Liza Minnelli and Sammy Davis and that whole era of you know, I guess they were the tuxedo type of performers. You know, they would come up and they would do the standards by George Gershwin and Cole Porter and, you know, some of the great American songbook, the real standards that you know, jazz players have been playing for years.
Okay. Now, since Bobby, you tour with Bobby Caldwell, and mm-hmm. he is on the CD, I have to play Next Time I Fall in Love.
Oh, please do.
Yes, we have to play that. So this is Next Time I Fall in Love, featuring Bobby Caldwell on vocals.
All right.
Like a road that never ends, how it leads me back again to heartache I'll never understand. Darling, I put my heart upon the shelf till the moment was right, 'cause I told
Bobby Caldwell doing the vocals on that. Very nice. Very nice.
We actually cut the rhythm section on that in L.A., and then a few weeks later, we did Bobby's vocals, and he did 12 vocal parts, by the way. in North Jersey, just outside of New York City, and then I went back to L.A. and finished up the saxophone parts. So it was a very much a bi-coastal track there, and we did. Brian Bromberg was the producer on that.
Okay. I have one more question for you from the chat room. Ron Barn wants to know, what future projects would you like to do that you haven't already done?
It's funny, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot. I guess I'm certainly looking to do another smooth contemporary jazz record, and we're talking with New Groove about that, about doing another follow-up to try something new. But, as I say, I like so many different types of music, and there's so many great artists out there. I'd love to do a record with I love working with brass players, as you can hear from a lot of the other tracks on the record. You talked about South by Southwest that features the Brighton Tight Horns. Then I'd love to do something either maybe with Chris Bode, who we didn't actually share the stage, but we were on the same jazz festival down in Bermuda a couple years ago, and we really hit it off. And Rick Braun and I have played together numerous times, and I always just feel like I play really well with Rick. I'd love to do a project with him. But there's so many great vocalists out there. There's a young singer named Melody Gardeau. I don't know if you know her. She's actually also from Philadelphia. Doing a lot of really neat things, and it's very organic, and it's very subtle and very soft. It's a very sort of kind of a moody, straight-ahead kind of jazz, and it's very, very introspective and very personal stories, and I think it'd be really neat to do something with her. But at the same time, I'd love to do something with someone like Sting, you know, or I remember hearing Gerald Albright play with Phil Collins, and Phil featured him a lot, and he did a lot of great solos, but also worked with a great horn section on that same gig too. So I'd love to do it all. I'd love to do a big band record. I've written a lot of big band music, and I'd love to actually record my own big band record as a leader. I think it'd be really exciting. So
that would be nice.
It's the exciting thing about being a musician, and the frustrating thing is you never really know where you want to go next, but sometimes it's kind of good just to let your road just be paved for you and just follow it.
Yeah.
Well, the door is open for you, and the world is open for you to do it all.
I'm ready.
Yes, definitely. And also, you have a great manager, too, by your side with Luther.
Luther Dowdell is a wonderful manager. He manages Gerald Beasley as well, and a number of other really wonderful artists. So I've been very fortunate to have him, and he really takes very good care of me. So.
Yes, that's cool.
We could tell that at Burke's. I met him as well, and he was definitely, trying to keep up with everyone and make sure you guys were taken care of. So he's a great man to have.
Yeah, I am very fortunate. He's good people, and he's real family too. So and he does good work. So that's the best of everything. And I think that's the key to a really good artist is having a good team behind you. Bobby Caldwell's manager is a guy named Jack White who just is just wonderful, and he's great and takes good care of not just Bobby but the whole band as well too. So there's a lot of really great people in this industry, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Well, we are glad to have you as well as part of the music industry. Love the CD. Again, let everyone know where they can purchase the CD.
Well, it's definitely the easiest place to get it anymore is iTunes and Amazon, and all my records, in fact, are available there. But the new one is also available in selected Best Buy, Barnes & Noble, Borders, places like that. So used to be Circuit City, but that's, I guess, not as open now as it used to be, is it?
No.
If you still have a Circuit City open in your area, wow.
Yes,
no, they closed a while ago. Yeah.
No.
You can also find out more information about Andrew on his website, andrewneu.com.
That's right.
So, Andrew, thank you so much for coming on and spending part of your Easter with us.
Oh, you bet, Terry. This worked out really well for us. And we were able to do some of the family thing, and we're going to go do a little bit more of that. Actually going to have an Easter egg hunt in a little bit. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. Much continued success to you. We look forward to hearing more music from you in the future.
Oh, it's definitely going to be coming. Thanks so much, Terry. And, Mike, it was great to meet both of you guys out at Burke's last week.
Same here. It was definitely great meeting you. Just definitely.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, that was Andrew New. Again, his CD is called Try Something New, N-E-U, and you can find out more information on him on his website, andrewnew.com. All right, Mike, we have about 9 minutes. Do you have anything to add?
Not really. Like I said, I love Andrew's music. I don't know how I found Andrew. I think I found Andrew's music, in the CD Depot, one of his earlier albums, in Clearview, listening to that. And then, of course, with the new one, Try Something New. So I've been a fan of Andrew's for a while. I mean, he's a great saxophonist. So you guys definitely need to check out his CD, Try Something New.
Yeah, I met him at Burke's as well. Had a great time there, but I do have to put Mike on blast because he was supposed to buy the first round of drinks, and we never got those drinks, so maybe next time.
Oh, wow. Okay, well. Okay.
Lori and I kept trying to get those drinks. That's ages.
You guys did not try. You guys were supposed to be at. You guys were all everywhere. So.
Oh, now it's our fault, Lori. Did you hear that? It's our fault now. Okay, that's fine.
Definitely.
That's fine. Maybe next year we can get our drinks. Okay, let's see. Who's coming up next week?
Pamela Williams, right?
We did reschedule Pamela Williams for next Sunday, yes, and definitely will be contacting her to confirm that, but she did reschedule with us for next Sunday. And next Saturday is Alan Hewitt. Now, if you have not seen his album cover, his CD cover, he looks just like Sonny Crockett from Miami Vice.
Yes, he does. I mean, but he doesn't play like Crockett, though. He plays, oh, man, that's a nice CD there. And he does a nice cover of Shaft. Oh, I love that.
I was just getting ready to say that, especially that cover of Shaft. It is awesome.
Yes.
It's a great cover, yes. But he looks just like Sonny Crockett. I know he done heard that a million times since that CD came out. And, Mike, I also wanted to tell you that I got this month's Smooth Jazz News magazine. They did a great article on Drew Davidson.
Oh, okay.
In this magazine. Great article on him, so we'll have something to talk to him about when he comes on May 2nd. We'll be talking to Drew Davidson May 2nd, but it is such a good article. He got started playing music in the Army, in the Navy.
Yes.
He was on a Navy destroyer, and that's when he started playing music. So, it's a great article on him. Huge Groove is on the cover, and it's a nice little magazine. We got a chance to meet Melanie Maxwell at Burke's, too. Gosh, that place, I'm telling you, if you are an artist out there and you're trying to get your music heard, that's the place to go to network. We met a young man there named Alan King. He was not performing, but he brought his CDs out. He's passing out his CDs. He was networking with people, with the artists, the industry people, and his CD is good. It is really good. It's called The Experiment. It's a really good CD.
Brilliant.
So, it was really nice meeting him. All right, I am going to close the show. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to get a couple of things to Trey. Tonight, Kurt Whalum and his brother Kevin will be performing at the 18th Annual Trumpet Awards. That will be shown on TV1. And I think that will be at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight. And if you guys want to go to find out what time it comes on in your market, you guys can go to www.trumpetfoundation.org and check that out. And also, the American Smooth Jazz Awards, the listing for the people who won a nomination that has came out. So I don't know if it's time to start voting now, but I guess we can announce the nominees next week. I don't have the list right here in front of me. Well, like I said, you guys can go to American Smooth Jazz Awards on Facebook or, the list of people that have been nominated for this, award ceremony will be. It's going to be very good. I mean, I can't wait to October, and like I said, hopefully we can get Bernie on the show in the future to talk about this, and maybe get Nick Coley on since he'll be the host to try to come on with me and talk about the American Smooth Jazz Awards. And I hope to see a lot of the artists and a lot of the people in the industry up there, because I'm going to try to make my way up to Michigan City, Indiana, and check that out. So that's going to be very, very hot.
And speaking of Nick Coley, Carol Ray will be interviewing Mike and I on the 25th, April 25th. She will be the host of Talking Smooth Jazz. She emailed us and asked us if she could interview us, and we were like, yes, you can. So I'm looking forward to that show. That's going to be a lot of fun. Don't know what she's going to be asking us, and I don't think that I want to know. I like the spontaneity of it, so I'm just open to whatever it is she wants to ask us. So we are inviting the listeners to call in if you have questions for us as well. We're inviting you to call in on the 25th and ask us questions about myself or Mike and how we got started with the Talking Smooth Jazz and how Mike came on as a host, and any other questions that you may have. So that's going to be on April 25th. Carol Ray, Nicoleon's manager, will be interviewing us.
Yes, well, I'm going to scream my questions first. I'm going to have to scream mine first. I don't know.
Oh, please.
I don't want any surprises. I need to scream my questions first, especially if Cheryl's going to call in. And Cheryl and Lori, we need to scream them people, okay? And Carol, too. And Carol, both, too. We need to scream all them questions. I don't know what you ask. I don't even want to know. You know, so, but that will be fun, and I can't wait for it either. But we've had to screen them sisters here, okay?
Oh, my goodness. Cheryl, I don't think you have a problem with Lori or Carol Boney fan, but Cheryl, maybe, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you might
all
want
right.
to screen Cheryl's question.
Well, we'll see on the 25th, so.
Oh, that's going to be a fun show. It's going to be a fun show. All right, you have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you next week. I am going to close with another song from the CD. This is called, I forgot. What was the name of the song? South by Southwest. My apologies. Another favorite of mine is on the CD, by the way. Okay, this is South by Southwest. Everyone have a happy Easter. Until next week, keep it smooth.